Verse 89. We honor the Lord today. Thank God for Him being God. Psalm 119, verse 89. Amen. We thank God for our pastor and to each of you in your respective places. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 89 reads, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thy ordinances, for all are thy servants." Amen. For the reading of God's word. Subject is, it is settled. David is the author of this text, and what David is saying, whatever God has said, it is so. It's permanent, written in the heavens. I'm so thankful for that because we have lawmakers that in Congress that make laws according to what they see and what they hear. And for their own personal gain, they make these laws. And these laws, sometimes they expire. Sometimes there's a deadline on these laws. But these lawmakers make these laws, and then they have to go back to Congress, and they debate on them again and deal with the nation's social and political problems. So throughout the year, more and more laws are being passed. So I wonder at the growing mountain of laws if sometimes it's sometimes hard to understand why we need to continue to add and to change laws so often. Our government's law system contradicts or greatly opposes what God says. Although the Bible includes rituals and dietary regulations that are no longer applicable today, but there are still universal truths that never change. An example is that when God said in Genesis, He created man, He created male and female, He created every animal on the earth, He created the sun, the moon, and the stars, that has not changed. And neither is He going to go back and make those changes. As David said, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Everything God wants us to know and how He wants us to conduct ourselves has been clearly spelled out for us. And God's word will never be amended. It will never be voted on. It will never be vetoed. Settled means that it has been decided beyond dispute. His word is yes and amen. Our lawmakers may be doing an important task. They may have been voted into office, but they can never give us anything as valuable as the Lord's statutes. And they cannot change those statutes that God has established. And we can do no better than to live by the settled word of God. In a changing world, you can trust God's unchanging word. God doesn't change, but the way that we see Him should change. God is sovereign. God is in control. He is the authority. He is the beginning. He's the end. He's Alpha. He's Omega. He's everything that's in between. He is sovereign. He's in control. He knows all. He's everywhere. In Revelations 21 and 6, it says that He is above all things and before all things. He is immortal and He is present everywhere so that everyone can know Him. In Romans, we find that God knows all things. He knows past, present, and future. There is no limit to His knowledge. for God knows everything completely. In Jeremiah, you'll find that God says that he can do all things and accomplish all things. There is nothing that's too difficult for him, and he orchestrates and determines everything that is going to happen in your life, in America, throughout the world, this universe. He does what he does, for nothing is impossible with him. Time, we operate in time. We have different means that we try to use to keep us on time. But God doesn't operate in time, he operates outside of time. He was before Genesis, and he's after Revelations. There is no time when it comes to God. The Bible is the inspired word of God, written for our instruction. God speaks whatever and however he chooses to speak to us. I shared with the women's ministry how God speaks to his people today. You can go back to the Old Testament, how God would speak, but even up to today, the New Testament, we find that God still speaks. He speaks through our circumstances. So we may be in a situation in our life or facing a problem in our life, and you will find that God is right there in the middle of that situation. He is still speaking to us through those situations. He speaks to us through angels. It says that the Bible says that we entertain angels unaware. So we have opportunities in which we are being ministered to by angels. Then God speaks to us through visions, and visions are just images, scenes, or events that we get while we are awake, supernatural things that happen to us. He speaks to us through our dreams. You know that Joseph was a dreamer, and Joseph could interpret dreams. And we have one in the midst of us today that is an interpreter of dreams, two people that I know of. And I know that's Michael, Minister Michael, and Minister Brown. They are interpreters of dreams, and they're also dreamers. He speaks to us through his prophets, those chosen to speak the thoughts of God to people on God's behalf. The office of the prophet was active in the Old Testament and is still active today. He speaks to us through miracles, signs, and wonders. God is just truly amazing how he can speak to us in different ways, different forms. He speaks to us through the word of God. Pastor Ronnie speaks a powerful message on Sunday, and every minister in this ministry speaks what God says. And that's how we understand and get the word. It says, how can we hear without the preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? And then we have where teachers in our Bible study are teaching. We have some anointed teachers in our Bible study that are teaching the gospel. It is our roadmap. It is directions for our lives. Anything we need to know God's heart about, it's in the Bible. It's in the word of God. And he can speak to us audibly. Now, I can't say that I've had an audible experience, but I know God has spoken to me in many ways. But it drops down in my spirit. And, you know, however God speaks, God chooses to speak however he wants to. But there are many recordings of God speaking audibly. God speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. All right. Now, this is one that I have been testing. I've been doing some research on, and I know, and I can validate and verify. Have y'all ever seen Channel 5? They'll verify something for you. Well, I can verify that the Holy Spirit will speak to you. I can verify that the Holy Spirit will coach you and guide you when you ask of him, because it is one of the benefits that God has given to us. So I have had many, many occasions in which I've asked the Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you to tell me. I need you to guide me. I need you to help me. And I will tell you that the Holy Spirit has done such. Then God speaks through other people. Do you ever had a moment and then somebody says something new to you that confirms whatever God has already said to you? That's just a confirmation. The Lord spoke to Abraham and Sarah and provided them with an announcement that seemed impossible. and that according to their ages, their ability to have children had expired. It was past due. The Lord says to them in verse 14, it says, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. So what is the appointed time? I know God has said something to you in your life, and he's given you some time frames in which something should happen. It's called an appointed time. But we have to understand that whenever God speaks something, whenever God says something, he is outside of time. So what we have to understand is if we know that God is outside of time, we have to stay in time. And we have to know that he's always on time. So we have to stay within the context of who we are. This is all the information that Sarah and Abraham had. They just had that it's an appointed time that you will have a son. So because we operate in time and God does not, because we are knowledge seekers and God is all-knowing, because God has the whole plan and we have part of the plan, we can sometimes get ahead of God. That's where Sarah and Abraham got in their life. They only had a portion of it. They knew that it was an appointed time for them to have a son. But God knew before, way ahead of them, what was going to happen leading up to that time. He knew the exact time that was going to occur, but he didn't tell them. So they had part of the plan. So because we operate in time, we look for devices that will help us stay on time. We got these cell phones now. You don't even have to have a watch. I don't have a watch. I never have worn a watch. But I've got a cell phone that I can look at and it will tell me what time it is. And then on my cell phone, it has a calendar on there. And I can set appointments on there. And those appointments, I can set it so that it will ring when I need to be there. And it will ask me, what time do you need to be there? So it will give me a time frame in which I can say to it, remind me at this time that I need to be there at this time. And then it has a device on the phone that will tell me how long it's going to take me to get there. So I didn't even tell my phone the other day where I was going, but I was going from Touche coming here. And on my phone, and this is how it's tracking me, on my phone it told me it's going to take you 15 minutes to travel from Touche to the church. And I hadn't even told the phone where I was going. But it's telling me how to be on time. All right. So we've got clocks. And our electricity went off this morning, and it just threw the clock off. But thank God, I got my cell phone, right? So my cell phone told me what time it was so I could set the time on the clock. And then when I get up in the mornings, Bob will always ask me, what time is it? And here's what puzzles me, is that I'm the one that needs to be on time because he's retired. So why do you need to know what time it is? But we are just time seekers. We got to know what time it is. So we still make these appointments, and we still have all of these devices, but sometimes we are still late. Y'all ever had that happen? You've got the cell phones, you've got the watch, amen, somebody, but you're still late for an appointment. We can make all of these excuses why we're late. The train caught me. I got up late. The alarm clock didn't go off. But how many know God's going to wake you up anyway? He's going to wake you up. I haven't set an alarm clock, and I don't know when, because I'm just going to wake up. So we have times in which things are just going to expire or end because we are time seekers. We're knowledge seekers. So in our refrigerators, we have food that may be expired. And I want you all to check this out when you go home. Look to see if there's an expiration date on the food products or in your pantry. Look to see if there's a date on there. And I will guarantee you most of them have dates on them. But some things now, they're trying to not put expiration dates on there because it says it is endless. It's not going to expire. So we have supplies in hospitals now that they used to put, and when we sterilize them, they would put an expiration date on it. Now we don't have to do that because they are now endless. As long as you don't tamper with it, it's good on the inside. The integrity is good. So I've got things in my pantry, and I was going through there. As I was preparing for this sermon, I was looking for things that expired in my house. And there's a lot of stuff that's expired. Stuff that's been there when I moved in 2006 that's on my shelf. I've got some salad dressing that's all in my pantry. The color of it has changed. That's just how old it is. So we have things that expire, but God's word doesn't expire. Let me tell you. Let me explain that, because you might say, yeah, he did. He gave an appointed time, and at that time, God's word is going to be fulfilled. So we've got things in our lives, promises that God has given to us that we believe are way past their expiration date, past their due date. What promise has God made to you? You may have that by now, I should. Anybody know? By now, I should be married. By now, I should have that house on the hill. By now, I should have that job. By now, I should have those children. By now, I should have grandchildren. I was saying that 13 years ago. I don't have to say it anymore. By now. So now I have grandchildren. They didn't come when I thought they should come, but they came. So by now, God, what has God said to you that you should have seen by now? But let me tell you, it does not mean that because you have not seen it, that it has not expired, because God's word does not expire. And here's what happens. What we are looking for and we think is expired, God presents it in a way that you wasn't expecting it to come. So just because you didn't get it when you thought you should have gotten it, God will give it to you in a way that you're not expecting it to come. You got it, but it didn't come the way you thought it should come. So over the past year, I've been on a faith journey. I've been inquiring of the Lord about different business opportunities. That is exactly what we should do. We should inquire of the Lord. You'll find throughout the scriptures in Samuel where David inquired of the Lord. And what's amazing about every time David inquired of the Lord, God answered him. And he would tell him exactly what he needed to do. And then there was a time when David inquired of the Lord, and he asked him, should I fight this battle with the Philistines? And God told him and said, yes, but when you go, you don't go up. You go behind them. And he said, and then when you go behind them, he says, when you hear the sound in the trees, that means that I'm going before you to make the way plain and take your enemies out, and then you move. Now, God gave David specific instructions to hear the sound. Listen for the sound in the mulberry tree, and then you'll know that I'm moving, and you need to move too. So God gave him a specific word because he inquired of the Lord. So we have to inquire of the Lord. So in my faith journey, I inquired of the Lord. I wanted to know some things. I was struggling with some situations that I had encountered in the work. It had nothing to do with anything but work. But I was trying to find out, what did God want me to do? So God began to speak in my spirit. God began to give me a word through Pastor Ronnie as he spoke across the pulpit. And then I would get a prophetic word, and then I would write it down, and then I would make sure that I heard what God said. So I'm writing it, I'm listening, I'm replaying it in my head, and what I thought God said was not really what God said. That's why we really have to understand when we inquire of the Lord. We're trying to find something that's going to fit our situation, and that's not what God was wanting for me. I tried to find something that fit what I wanted. Even though I inquired of the Lord, and even though I know what God said, he said, by this time next year. And then he gave me some specific instructions. But what I heard wasn't really what I heard, because I was traveling down a different pathway, trying to run from a situation instead of running in the direction that God wanted me to go. And when I sat down and I began to put it all together, because remember, we know in parts. And Bob Day, he gives me a lot of sermons, but he paints our house, the walls in our house. And I probably told this story before, but when Bob paints in the house, he paints one wall, a section of a wall. And then he goes over and he paints another section on that wall over there. He hasn't finished this wall, but he paints this section over here. And then he stops and he goes and he'll paint a section on that wall. And then when you come in, it looks like a mess. But here's what he told me. This is what he told me, and it's wisdom. He said, I know I'm over here, and I know I'm over here, and I know I'm over here, and it looks like a mess, but it's all going to come together. Powerful message. Because when he got through, it all came together. So when God speaks, God gives us parts. He will have an angel to come and sit with you and give you a word. And then he'll have Pastor Ronnie come through and give you a rhema word. And then somebody else will come along and verify that. And then the Holy Spirit will drop something in you. And then you'll get in Bible study, you'll hear something else. And all of those parts come together. It all comes together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. That's how God works. So as I begin to try to sort this out and put this together, I get a letter in the mail. Now, I'm telling you, I recorded it, and I listened, and I went back, and I've got these post-it notes on my mirror, and I'm hoping that Bob doesn't read my notes, because it's personal to me. And I'm trying to get through this situation that God has me in, because I believe God allowed me to be in it to teach me. It's a teaching moment. So as I'm there, I get this letter in the mail, and the letter says that you have retirement benefits. And these are benefits that I didn't even know I had. But that's one of those checkmates that somebody had already told me. You're going to make more than what you think you're going to make in retirement. So I said, thank God for that. So as I'm trying to go this way for this business opportunity, God wanted me over here for this opportunity. And then I began to say, okay, the word of God is going to be fulfilled. And everything that God says is not going to return unto him void. So if God said this is what you're going to do, then God started putting things together for me. And he began to confirm his word. And I said to myself, I already knew. I already knew that was my path. But I'm trying to do something else because I'm trying to make it work for me. But I said to myself, I already know that's where God is taking me. Many of you already know what God wants to do in your life. But you're struggling and you're fighting. And I tell you, I was wearing myself out. Because I'm trying to make it work for me. Y'all remember when Jacob was struggling, was fighting with the Lord? And God had to disable him? That's where I was. I'm fighting with the Lord. When God is trying to do something in me and take me someplace to benefit him and his glory. It says that before Google Map I'm not really good at a map, but I love this technology today. You can type in an address and you can find your way. But before Google Map, Before we had all this technology, anybody remember that? How you had to get from one place to another place? It was a struggle. They tell you, make a left when you see the lady standing, the statue standing there. Make a left at that corner. And then when you see the red house, make another right at that corner. And then when you see that there is some dogs, this is what I had to do. There are some statues of dogs in that yard, turn left there. You had to have specific instructions in those times to get to where you need to go. That's how God has to speak to some of us. Because some of us don't understand what God is doing. So God has to come and audibly speak to you and say, I need you, because he had to do that for me. I need you, Sabrina, to settle down. I need you to go right. You're trying to go left. Turn right at the statue where you see me. And I already knew. In Isaiah 55, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and I shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. So God's word is going to be fulfilled. It's not going to expire. God's word is spiritual. It only expires after it has been fulfilled, what he tells it to do. God's word expires after the specified time has passed. The word accomplishes what it's purposed to do. It's clearly shown in history that God reveals himself to men and women. God reveals his word through the written word, through his prophets, through the spoken word, other believers. In Exodus, you'll find that the Egyptians in Egypt, over 400 years, the Israelites was captive. And they had been released or came out of captivity. And in their getting out of captivity, they thought that they were okay, but then they began to grumble and complain. This is the disappointment of deliverance, of walking into a promise from God. It's when God brings you out of something, but you haven't yet seen what he has promised. You are out of the situation, but you have not yet achieved what God has spoken in your life. You've had the Exodus, but you have not entered into your new beginning. It's when you believe God for something that you don't see. You get excited because you've been told it, the promise is there, but until you see it, you don't really appreciate. So they came out of Egypt when the expiration date of their season of suffering had reached the ears of heaven. Everything that you go through in life, that the enemy does to you in your life, or that you do to yourself in life, it can't go on forever. Remember that God is sovereign. Even if the devil is messing with you in your mind, in your family, he can't mess with you for as long as he wants to. There is an ending date to that. God gave Satan the ability, access to Job, but he gave him a defined period of time. So when God saw the children of Israel struggling in slavery, he said, that's enough. God spoke to Moses and said, I hear my people. Now that's enough. This season that they're in has an expiration date on it. So when it ended, God said, what have I done? What I've done before, he said, I'll do it again. He said, I am. There is a testimony in your life to be able to trust him in whatever season you go through. When we are going through a difficult season, we remember the past season. When you have been in Egypt too long, you start remembering maybe what I experienced in Egypt wasn't bad after all. Maybe I should have stayed in that situation a little bit longer. Maybe I shouldn't have left where I left. Maybe it was better in Egypt than it is here. You start remembering your past and focusing in on what was instead of focusing in on what God has promised. And so God provided manna for them. At Exodus 16, it says that Moses said, "Let no man leave of it till the morning." Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. That was manna that came down from heaven that spoiled, that it expired, because it had a specific time frame on it, and God gave them specific instructions what they needed to do. And because they didn't do what God said, it spoiled. So we have to know whatever God has said to you, his word is going to accomplish whatever it says. The Israelites were to just gather the bread for that day. And then he gave them instructions what they needed to do on the sixth day. The sixth day was to get enough for the seventh day. But they didn't do that. And so the food spoiled. If you stay close to Jesus, even in the wilderness, if you don't know how, your bread will be blessed. It will be enough. Right. It will be enough. Right. When you have never seen something and it comes to you, but God has promised it to you, you don't recognize it. And that's why the manna was called, "What is it?" Because the children of Israel had not seen that before. So when you've asked God for something, when you've inquired of the Lord for something and you get it, and it doesn't come the way you think it's supposed to come, you can miss it. Because God is not predictable. God will bless however he chooses to bless. When God does something new in your life, you don't know what to call it or how to see it. What keeps you from seeing it is because of your past, or your current situation, and because of your future. When the enemy has been speaking to you too much, declare that God is enough. So in the morning, because the Israelites didn't trust God with enough for the day, the manna had maggots, because his presence and provision is always in today. Your sleeplessness is because you're letting maggots get into your manna. Faith is to deal with today and trust for tomorrow. God's word is not uncertain. It is settled, determined, fixed, sure, immovable. Man's teaching changes so often that there is never time for them to be settled. But the Lord's word is from old, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. In Proverbs it says, "Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him." Isaiah 40 says that the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. In 2 Kings, we find that Elijah said to the woman who had no children, "About this time next year, you will hold a son in your arms." And she said, "Men of God, don't play with me." And that's something you don't want to do to a woman. When she said, "Don't play with me," she means, "Don't play with me." But he said that to her, but he was a prophet, a man of God. And so, you know, when the time came around when she was looking for that son, we have all of those by now moments. So when the prophet told her she would have a son, she began to look by now. By now, the son should be here. By now, the son should be here. And every day, because we operate in time, every day she was looking for her by now. We've all felt that by saying or thinking, if it hasn't happened by now, we lose hope at times. It appears to us as if if the promises of God have expired or are past due. So you may have prayed for direction in a specific situation and nothing seems to be changing. You say in your mind, by now this should have happened in your mind. Abraham and Sarah had that aha moment by now, because Sarah's womb had expired by age and they were looking for a child. They were expecting a child, but when God said it, it didn't come when they thought it should come. And how they thought it should come. It came packaged differently at an age where they weren't expecting it. Everywhere you look today, there are disasters taking place. The earth is groaning for the Lord's return. And we need to be people of faith who don't just survive, but are overcomers. We need the faith of God to see the impossible made possible in our lives. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of us today. So I want to stir up the faith in all of you that's already on the inside of you. Faith to believe again, faith to believe that God can do it and he will do it no matter what is. Nothing is impossible for God. Why do we pull back from the promises of God? It says to fall into doubt because that is easy for us to do, but we should not fall into doubt because if God said it, he's sovereign, he keeps his word. Whatever he has said, it is yes and amen. God told Sarah at the appointed time she would conceive the child. Appointed time is a specific time in which God has established. We may not know it, but God knows the time. And all we have to do is rest in his presence, trust in his word because he said it. When we think things should happen in our lives, when that due date passes or to us expires and things frustrate us, like I was getting frustrated and discouraged, God was in that situation. God was working it out for my good. We give God a due date instead of waiting for his appointed time. Our job is to simply believe. Even Sarah tried to make things happen in her own time. She decided to give her maid, Hagar, to Abraham to conceive a child because God said, you will have a son. She only took what she heard and began to do something that she didn't hear. So when I was in my situation, I heard what God said, but I'm trying to do something that I didn't hear. And so when I went back and began to replay it over and over again, I came to myself. That's not really what God said. And that's how Sarah was. So we can get bitter and laugh, the laugh of doubt and unbelief, and abort the promises of God. Act in a way that maybe that's not what God meant, or that God may need my help. We can believe God no matter how long it takes. We can choose to say the promises of God or yes and amen. We can adjust our due date to his appointed time. Most of the time, things won't happen when or how we think they should. But if we believe, there is no situation that God can't turn around. If you have past due dreams, past due promises, judge him who has promised faithful. The dream has not expired. The promise has not expired. Whatever God has said, he will accomplish it. God wants to astound you. God wants to blow your mind. God is bigger than what you think he is. There is nothing that's too hard for our God. If whatever God has promised to you, inquire of the Lord. Believe in him because his word has already been settled in heaven. And know this, that you already know. You already know. Don't lose heart or begin to doubt God. He is faithful and he will bring it to pass. Remember, he has an appointed time. His promises never expire. Even if the food in your refrigerator or in your pantry expires, God's word will live forever. Amen. Amen. We bless God today, and I pray that you receive that word, knowing that God can do whatever he chooses to do when he chooses to do it with no time in mind, because he is an on-time God. Amen. Stand with us. If there be anyone here that has not accepted Christ as your Savior, we open the doors of the church. Amen. As I look across the church, everyone here is a member. We thank you, Bird, for coming and being with us all the way from Chicago, the other state in Illinois. Amen. Y'all know it's true. Amen. We just want to make sure that before we close that there is an announcement that we do have a Rhema Worship Center and a Midwest Career Source event that's coming up on November the 2nd from 2 to 5 at the Village Theater in Centerville. There are flyers just out there on the table. We ask that you get a flyer, but it is for every member of Rhema, every member of Midwest Career Source to be a participant of this event. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity, God, to stand and represent you, because it's all about you. It's not about who we are, but who we are to you is what's important. And the faith and believing and trusting in you, even when we can't see where we're going, even when we don't really know where we're going, we know, God, that you're with us, because you promised in your word that you would never leave us nor forsake us. You're a God who's all-knowing, all-powerful, all-seeing. And so, God, we thank you for being God and the Alpha and the Omega. We thank you, God, for these, your people that are here, God. We pray, God, that you'll bless them individually. Bless them right where they are. Meet every need according to your riches and glory, God. We ask, God, that you anoint them from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. God, bless them spiritually, bless them financially, whatever need that you have, God. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Everything belongs to you. So, God, all we have to do is reach up and grab it. All we have to do is inquire of the Lord. There is nothing that expires with you, but you fulfill every promise that you make to us. So we ask, God, every promise that you made to your people here today, God, that they will see it, they will know it, they will walk in it, believe by faith that they have whatever you have said. We honor you today, and as we go in our various directions, God, that you would be with us until we meet again. We ask your blessings upon our pastor, God, and his family, God, and every teacher, every leader, every minister, every officer in this church, and every member. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.